Hey, we're good.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the September 29th, 2020 meeting of the University City Council meeting to order. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crow.
Here. Thank you very much. During our study session, we did not have a chance to talk about any possible changes to the agenda. So I need to ask Mr. Rose and my colleagues, are there any changes to the agenda for tonight's meeting?
Honorable Mayor, I have one change that I would ask, which is removing from the consent agenda item number two and placing that as the first item on the city manager's report. That being setting a public hearing for the Avenir project.
Okay. Any other requested changes to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the city manager's request to move J2 to the city manager's report?
Move.
Motion by Mr. Hales, seconded by Mr. Clay. Those in favor of approving the amended agenda, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You'll see there's a proclamation for the Extra Mile Day. So we'll move forward through that. Before I go into the approval of the minutes from September the 14th, I would like to take a moment. And I know my colleagues join me in congratulating Dr. Sharonica Harden Bartley for being named by the St. Louis American Foundation as the Stellar Performer in Education for 2020. This follows being the 2019 new Superintendent of the Year. And so as a parent of a U City grad, and I know many of my colleagues are U City grads or have kids in schools, on behalf of all of us, we'd like to thank Sharonica for her dedication to our kids and always striving to make our school district a little bit better and our educational experience challenging and rewarding for all of our students. So to Sharonica, congratulations on another well-deserved award from all of us. Thank you. You have before you the minutes of the September 14th, 2020 regular meeting. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to appoint or nominate for appointment Linda Mantle to the CALIP Commission.
Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you again, Mayor. I'd like to nominate Siri Moran to the Traffic Commission.
Second.
Seconded
by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The following three nominations are by me. I would like to nominate Edwin Massey to be on the CALIP Commission to replace Kamel Dockett. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I would also like to nominate Joseph Cavado to the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Finally, I'd like to nominate Eric Wittenauer to the pension boards. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Just real quickly, Ms. Reese, I think we have a typo on Eric Wittenauer's last name. You'll note that both Mike Hart was sworn into the library board, and then I had a hard time figuring out who John Geiger was. I think most of us call him Mike, but I think his legal name is John, was sworn into the LCRA. So thank you very much for that. I think all the members of council were provided by Ms. Reese with the citizen comments that were provided to us prior to today's meeting. To our citizens, thank you very much for participating. And as always, we know that these are it's a little bit challenging as we move through this process. We now have a public hearing on the annual property tax rates. I'd like to call the hearing on annual property tax rates open at 6:42 p.m. Ms. Reese, do we have any requests to speak?
No, not at this time.
Thank you very much. There are no requests to speak, so therefore I will close this hearing at 6:42 p.m. I would now like to open the public hearing on the liquor license for Righteous Road Crafts and Spirits at 8630 Del Mar at 6:42 p.m. Ms. Reese, are there any requests to speak?
There are none.
Thank you very much. Since there are no requests to speak, I will close this hearing at 6:42 p.m. I will now move forward to the consent agenda. You have before you items number 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6 from the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented? A motion by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. Any additional discussion? Here, Mr. McMahon, you're muted. You are muted. You are muted.
I am unmuted. Just looks like in the packet, just for clarification, that J1 and J2, the underlying materials were put in, they switched. So while the agenda has them right, the materials in the packet, so I just want to make sure we're clear what we're looking at there. That the page numbers for J1 were actually J2, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's correct. They were switched.
Yes, yeah, okay. Thank you, duly noted. With that being said, a motion, a second has been made on the consent agenda. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this first item is setting a public hearing for the Avenir project. If the proposed public hearing is set, it provides the taxing entities or jurisdictions that would be impacted by the abatement should the council decide to provide it to the Avenir project. And so that's what the public hearing allows for. Is for those taxing jurisdictions to provide input into that process and to give you a sense of what their thoughts are relative to the requested abatement. I respond to any questions that you have.
I would have, first off, is there action to be taken on this? Do we need to set it tonight or is that just for our information?
Honorable Mayor, it is intended to set the public hearing tonight. And so if it is approved by the you and the council, then we would advertise the public hearing for a future date.
So could I first ask for a motion that we allow for the public hearing October the 12th and see if it rises or falls? Am I correct? Anybody? This may be being done a little bit differently than normal. So I'm kind of looking at Gregory and John to see do I need a motion to have this conversation or ask questions?
I believe if a motion is made, it would be appropriate to ask questions.
Correct.
That's or respond kind of my, to questions. Was,
kind of looking to see if one of my, I think I have Mr. Smotherson making a motion. I got Mr. McMahon. Yeah. You know, I'm doing my Hollywood squares trying to see who's got their hand up first. Thank you very much for making that motion. And my only question as we move forward with this is that I think I know the answer to this, but I am hopeful that we will both look at the policy that we currently have and then talk about having someone look at all the numbers for us. Am I correct on that, Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor, that is correct.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Smotherson, I think, and then Mr. Hales.
My question, thank you, Mayor Crowe. My question is, with this public meeting or public hearing that we're going to have, with the other entities that are affected by this or involved, are their involvement in this meeting or participation going to be heard, seen, or how is that going to work in reference to this meeting?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, if the various taxing jurisdictions have comments to make, they would make those in writing and provide those written comments to the city clerk to be presented to the mayor and council.
Will we then read them into the, will it be read at the meeting, or will we just have access to them like we do typically, normally, with the other meetings?
Honorable Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, that's the discretion of the council.
Okay.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Following up on Councilman Smotherson, the notice of the public hearing, do they actually get notified directly through some communication from the city of the hearing, or is this just publicly posted?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, I'll defer to John. I know we typically notify them.
Yes, we do notify them, and we also send the development plan with the tax abatement request. So they will receive the materials at least 10 days in advance of the hearing.
Okay, thank you. And then to the city manager, following up on the mayor's question about process, do you have a rough anticipated timeline for the consideration of the tax abatement part as far as doing the due diligence and then coming back? This is not like a liquor license like we had tonight where we're having a public hearing and in the next meeting we're going to have a recommendation and be asked to take any kind of action on abatement. If you could just explain the process and timeline.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, in order to formulate a recommendation to the mayor and council, as well as for the council to hear firsthand with regards to what the taxing jurisdictions think about the request, there has to be a public hearing that provides them with the opportunity to do that. After the public input is received, I'll certainly be making a request to have a third party evaluate the request abatement that's being made and to fold that into a recommendation that I will eventually provide to the mayor and council for consideration as to what, if any, tax abatement is appropriate. As you know, you have recently engaged the Planning Commission as well to really take a very close look at the policies that we are under that provide guidance to the amount of tax abatement that the city provides. And so we could very well delay advancing any of the three until that discussion with the Planning Commission is had and a recommendation on the policy is provided to the mayor and council. But that will be at the discretion of the mayor and council.
I just had one more. That was sort of my next question. Given that the Plan Commission is now going to be taking a look at and studying the abatement process as this policy, abatement policy that's been in existence for 15 years, exists in the document that they are responsible for making the comprehensive plan, would it be, and I don't know how to make this suggestion, but would it be appropriate? I don't necessarily want to delay this process because I think there's a lot that's going to have to take place, but I think Plan Commission in their next meeting is looking to have a discussion about the abatement and look at this. And I just kind of think it would probably be appropriate while they're looking at Delcrest to be looking at this as well.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, we'll have an opportunity, I believe, to marry both processes together. What the action is being taken by the Planning Commission, as well as the analysis that will be required by PIPE staff, and if you allow it for a third party to evaluate the request as well.
Okay, thank you.
Questions, Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor, and I appreciate this item being pulled out. I think it's significant. My comments aren't long, but I will say that I appreciate the study that's being taken on these, because we are getting what seems to be an unusual number of requests for abatements. That's not something that my understanding has been typical. And so I like the idea of looking at all of these comprehensively. And I think I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge Councilmember Hales and his work in the Delcrest process and making sure that these kind of esoteric issues of abatement are really held up for the council to really take a look at, and for the appropriate commission to take a look at. These issues are not as visceral as trees and parking and those kind of things that we deal with every day, but have significant impact on the city and some of our city partners. So I appreciate Councilmember Hales and this body really taking the time to look at these abatement issues as closely as we are.
Else has any, Mr. Hales?
Oh, I just couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Are you all having trouble hearing me? Okay.
You go in and out.
It's going in and out. Yes.
Yeah. I apologize. We have a motion before us and a second. We've had discussion. Those in favor of the motion before us, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item is a presentation that I have asked Chief Hampton to provide to you that provides you with an overview of our current K-9 program. And so I will turn the discussion over to Chief Hampton. Chief.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of the council. Just want to give a brief update. Can everyone hear me fine? Okay, want to give a brief update on the K-9 program for the University City Police Department. Our first K-9, Mikey, came to us back in 2008. That was a combination of grants, police funds, and what have you. It brought Mikey and his handler, Officer Margot, who was already with the department. And of course, after several successful uses of tours of duties, K-9 Mikey eventually died in 2015. So we got approximately 7 years of service out of K-9 Mikey, the K-9. Very useful. Like I said, the very first one for the community here in University City. It was not until 2018 where we were approached by the Ryan Griffin Foundation, the family of Ryan Griffin, who had passed away from drug addiction and an overdose, at which time they were donating dogs to worthy communities, worthy law enforcement organizations, and they deemed University City worthy of that. You all, as the council and the mayor, we accepted that donation, and that was K-9 Rhino. K-9 Rhino is currently still with us, along with all of the certifications that they have to go through, the K-9, as well as their handlers, Amp Water. And Amp Water is you'll see spelled out without as for what it means. And the organization is accredited through other national organizations and what have you. So literally they provided the canine, Rhino, and they provided the training at that particular time. You'll see a picture of Rhino as well as the presentation at the council meeting at that time. That was back on December the 13th of 2017. He had to go through some rigorous training, approximately 5 to 8 weeks of training, depending on the level of the training and depending on the level of the expertise of the handler and the canine. Canine Rhino is still in rotation with us. We added a second dog, which was Canine King. Canine King and Canine Rhino are dual purpose dogs, meaning they can search for drugs, they can search for missing persons, they can search for tracks, i.e. we have a bank robbery let's say, so be it, Commerce Bank, and the suspects flee on foot. That's a track that we have to either get another jurisdiction to come in and do, whether that's St. Louis County, St. Charles, Overland, other departments with canines. We started to provide our own services for those purposes. Canine King, like I say, started in 2019, went through some of the same rigorous training. He went through with handler Canine Casey, who has since resigned and retired out of law enforcement. He's not retired, he's resigned. He's done with public service at this point. So as you see in the picture, Canine King is reassigned to a new handler, handler officer Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is a veteran. He had some dabblings with canines in the military service, two tours of duty in the Marines, as well as some of his other police departments prior to coming to University City. Canine King is probably our youngest dog, I still would say. I think he's under the age of 2 years old, or right at 2.5 years of age. And let's move on down to Canine Ghost. Canine Ghost, this was pretty much a lucky find for us. Literally, we were hiring Officer Franklin as a probationary police officer who has approximately 8 years of service. He was initially trained through MetroLink Public Safety organization with explosive and bomb handling techniques with Canine Ghost. Canine Ghost is a bomb specialist. He's not a drug specialist. So he does not, you can only train the dogs one of the professors, one of the expertise, meaning that they all train in tracking, but they have to be trained either in drug sniffing or article sniffing, or as well as explosives. So anything with explosives, Canine Ghost is our expertise on that. And this was, like I say, this was a lucky find because we were not really looking for the third dog, but at this particular time, Canine Ghost is owned by, Officer Franklin. Officer Franklin, and literally, that is a somewhat of a technique that dogs that some agencies, if they retired them out and they're not using canines any further, like Bi-State isn't, they contract those services out with St. Louis City, St. Louis County, State Patrol, and what have you, and the feds. We kind of came upon this with the fact that Canine Ghost was just sitting and waiting, and we did not want him to just wait in vain if that was the case, especially with an expertise that we can utilize for religious institutions or government buildings or schools. We get a lot of calls dealing with said bomb threats, and with being able to sweep through that to confirm or clear those areas, that is a plus for us. You'll see underneath there is some snippets of the policies that we have. We have a very detailed policy with our canines and crowd control and crowd management. I know that was one of the questions that come up. Canines are not to be used whatsoever within that. We don't even put the handlers within the crowd control security aspect when we're dealing with anything of civil unrest or even dealing with peaceful disturbances or peaceful protesting. So literally that is spelled out in our policy, spelled out in our policy within our standards for the Missouri Police Chief's accreditation as well, also with CALEA accreditation. So the deployment of the K-9 has to be approved not only by a supervisor, but upper level commander or myself. So meaning that we do get some instances where some communities who do not have these services and they are neighboring us, whether it's something that, i.e. a bomb threat in a nearby religious institution or a school. Say you have a Normandy High School bomb threat, and now we have the services of utilizing K-9 Ghost and Officer Franklin, if they're on duty. This is only if the mutual aid that we provide on that aspect is only if they are on duty. And the same as ours. This rotation of the three K-9s, it gives us greater length of coverage for not only midnight graveyard shift covering, as well as 7 days a week. There is some type of K-9 service being performed by the University City Police Department, as opposed to going down 2 days out of the 7 day week. Previously with only one dog as well as with two dogs. Now, I do want to mention the purpose of having multiple dogs as well is the fact that you can wear out a dog, i.e. that 7 year stint that you see for K-9 Mikey could have been stretched out maybe a little bit further if there was a second dog. And the wear and tear that you're doing on these dogs, or whether it's the, and these are They're members of our department, but they're useful resources and tools as well. They're not simply pets. We, even though they're treated like pets, that they are trained to do specific tasks. And whether that's find a bad guy or find a missing child or find a missing dementia citizen, it helps us track in a very quicker pace, along with our technology like the drones. Let me go down to some of the stats, I guess, for 2019. And I covered the incident for calls for service, over 1,564 calls, zero bites. Is zero bites. We're not a department out here looking for biting and apprehensions in that way. These dogs, when they're doing tracking, they're led by a leash. They're not led off of a leash. They're led with their handlers are trained to track with the leash and to do a sniffing, just to give a tip as to where these suspects and perpetrators are hiding or located, or whatever the case is.
Chief Hampton, you might just hit some of the high points and then open it up for questions.
I sure will. Sorry about that. Notable cases, you have over $40,000 in cash seized for 2019 from our K-9s. You have drugs, narcotic sniffs of 23. You have several no complaints. You also had no complaints received for the past 2 years on our K-9s or our handlers. Besides that, we have grants. One last thing I'll touch, it's a $10,000 grant that we're currently in the running for. We have numerous organizations that donate to us for our cost and literally funding of this program. So that's all I have right now, and I will open up for any questions.
Questions do we have from members of the council to the chief? Ms. Klein.
I just wanted to say thank you for the information. I know that there's been some confusion in the community, and so this is something, you know, that we want to talk about and get the correct information out there. I did, you know, give this the information that you gave me to a constituent who's had problems and, you know, asked if there were any concerns or, you know, questions that he had, and I haven't heard back. So, you know, this is something that I hope that we can have an ongoing discussion about, and I really appreciate your presentation, Chief Hampton.
Not a problem. Thank you, Councilperson.
Questions from members of the council? If not to the chief, thank you very much for coming before us to provide the information. And we kind of like the backdrop you got working there. I think you got the most creative backdrop of all of us. You're kind of putting us to shame. We're kind of boring compared to you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, item K2 asks council to consider fee increases for the Ruth Park Golf Course. I'm recommending an increase in fees for our Ruth Park Golf Course to have them reflect the market and enable us to fund more improvements at the golf course. The fees were presented to the Parks Commission and were supported by the Parks Commission. So I believe Mr. Dunkel and I can respond to any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. First, before us, we have a proposal from the city staff to increase the parking fee, the fees at Ruth Park Golf Course. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion or questions? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose or Mr. Dunkel, are the fees, I didn't look at the details of the fees. Are the fees different for University City residents versus non-residents at our golf course?
Mr. Dunkel?
Councilmember Cusick, yes, they are. If you look in there, they're broken up discounted fees versus general fees. And to get the discounted fee, you have to show your proof of residency, so you do get that discounted fee.
Good. Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick question for Director Dunkel. I just wanted to find out the fee increase. This is only in reference to, or should I say, this is not in reference to a future new golf facility. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to get some clarity. In my paperwork, I can't put my hand on the grid that was came as a part of our attachments. I understand that there is a new category added. We've had general residence, senior, but was there a new category added? And forgive me,
it's on
K23. Yes, Councilmember Clay. To answer that, there is a new category, the UC Lion, and this is something that we wouldn't put right away. This would be something down the road as we look at fees and charges to Centennial Commons, that there would be kind of like a premier membership, the UC Lion membership, and there'd be benefits to it which would reflect this.
Okay, so
that's part of that benefit.
Okay, so this is the UC Line is associated with a program that's not yet active.
Yes, but the rest of these would be going into play if approved.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of council? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, item K3 asks that you consider a small business assistance program for COVID-19 forgivable loan. I'm recommending round three of $850,000 EDRST funding for a program. The minimum amount eligible businesses would receive is $2,000. And the maximum would be $15,000. A goal of 25% of the funding would go towards minority and women-owned businesses. I'm happy to respond to any questions that you might have. I believe Mr. Cross is on here with us.
I am.
Questions from members of council. Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. How many, so we know there were very specific criteria for the first two rounds. How many businesses do we think might be eligible in this third round? I guess my first question is, how many businesses do we have overall? And then how much do we think would be eligible for this third round?
Council Member Clay, I can't answer the total number of businesses because it rotates, but I think the goal here was to provide the remaining businesses that did not contribute to the EDRST contributions, the availability for this program. Because if you recall, the prior programs were really only for those businesses, or the primary qualification was for those businesses that contributed to their 2019 EDRST contributions. The goal was to give them the opportunity to apply and get those funds that they've contributed. So I think what we were focusing on was any remaining businesses throughout the city that were qualified based upon being a legitimate business prior to this, to the COVID-19, would be eligible to come to us and seek this assistance.
And correct me if I'm wrong, last time, and I could be mistaken, payments could not be used, funds could not be used for rent.
Correct.
Is that provision still in play, or has that been removed?
That is still in play, and it's identified in the round three guidelines.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
I have a couple if I can jump in. One is, I understand the minority participation, women-owned businesses, and I think that I get the sense both from council and from EDRST that we really do want to help as many businesses as we can. And if towards the end of the program, if we have not used the percentages by request from businesses that are either from minority-owned businesses or women-owned businesses, are we going to leave that percentage in, or is that just a goal that we have? And then if we have other requests we can fulfill, because I do want to make sure that there are funds for all minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses that apply. If in fact we don't have a lot of applications and we're getting towards the end of this, are we going to flex it, or are we not going to flex it?
Mr. Mayor, I could share with you that it would be my intention to expend the entire $850,000. Certainly the minority and women-owned business 25% is a goal, and we hope that we'll be able to achieve that. But if through the application process it becomes evident that that is not going to be achieved, I would expend the remainder of those funds, and would note to the mayor and council when I intend to do so.
Question I have, which I think may be a theme for me from previous years on the council, but I would like to state again that I would like to have a clawback provision in these loans, and we agree that they are forgivable loans, but I hope that my colleagues agree with me that the last thing we really want to have happen is to loan someone a significant amount of money on a forgivable basis, and then they move their business someplace else. And so I would hope that everyone is amenable to there being some provision that as long as the loan is out there, or whatever the case may be, however this gets worded in the documentation, as long as the loan is out there, that you have a business, you know, your business needs to be operating in University City. And the reason I say that is if you do pay attention to what is going on, we have had one of our businesses who has now moved from the U-City side of the loop to the city side of the loop. And if they had a chance to get this loan, which would be perfectly fine, and then they moved to the other side of the loop, we sort of didn't necessarily benefit our own community, even though I realize that line gets a little frustrating to everybody. It's just, in my mind, our EDRST funds need to be used for businesses located and employing people in University City. So...
Mayor, to follow up to your question, so was that in the previous rounds? Okay, it was not.
Well,
so,
yeah, I think in the previous rounds, also the amounts were small. You know, these amounts are bigger, and they're right. Going to people who have not contributed funds. So, and I do apologize. I probably did not ask for a motion for this up front, if I'm correct. And I believe, Ms. Reese, I have not asked for a motion yet. Can I real quickly, get a motion for this? Was first by Mr. Smothers and seconded by Mr. Hales. Thank you. Mr. Rose, I think, unless I'm, I believe that you and staff would be comfortable with us making some form of a clawback amendment to the Small Business Administration program. Am I correct?
Honorable Mayor, that's correct. We'll incorporate that into the guidelines, that clawback type of wording. We'll work with our legal attorney, Mr. Mullerkin, to ensure that we have the proper wording for it.
I really don't want to wordsmith this too much in this meeting. I hope that my colleagues trust the fact that we're going to do a clawback and that Mr. Mulligan can put the appropriate language into the documentation so that we, if a business does relocate, we have the right to request the funds back. With that, though, having said that, I prefer not to make amendments myself. Is anyone willing to make an amendment regarding clawbacks that will allow Mr. Mulligan to change their criteria? There's a motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. So just so everybody knows, we do have a motion on the floor and an amendment. And while we've got those two things on the floor, you can feel free to ask any questions you would like, or we can take care of the amendment and then we can take care of the major motion later. Does anyone else have questions regarding the EDRST loan program as presented? Ms. Klein.
So I just was wondering, is this the final round? My understanding that it was, and how long will the application process be open for these?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, this is the final round. I believe Mr. Cross has the details on the round period.
Yeah, what I put on this, when it originally went to the EDRST, I mean, it was just the draft, but one of their recommendations, you know, as we talked about it, was to evaluate the time frame. What I put in there was from October 1 through December 31st. So this initial one is set for 90 days. So if you feel that we need to extend it later into 2020 or early into 2021, we'd be happy to do so. But kind of with everything we're doing with the COVID crisis, we're looking to the end of the year and then kind of reevaluate and see what we can do to move forward after that.
So if the funds weren't all used, would they then, the period be extended? Is that kind of the idea?
I'm sorry, Greg.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, if the funds are not all expended by the end of December, the intention would be to bring that information back to the council and seek further direction.
Okay. Thank you.
And yeah, the EDRST has been pretty clear that they believe that these funds should be used. And if they're not used, you know, I think we all assume that the financial part of this crisis is easily going to be continuing into 2021. And if there are ways for us to use this set aside, the EDRST would like to and would bring that back to council, I think, in as efficient way as they possibly can. So I believe Mr. Mulligan wanted to step in for a moment. Mr. Mulligan, you are muted.
Thank you. Mayor, to your concerns about a clawback, I think there are, and Mr. Cross, may elaborate if I'm misstating this, but the program guidelines have criteria. Those are set out in the packet. And in the event the conditions are not met, it's a loan instead of a grant. And so that is a form of clawback in that it will be a loan. And secondly, for any disbursement of funds over $4,000, it's to be in quarterly payments. And my understanding is that before each quarterly installment is made, staff may make a determination as to whether or not that business still qualifies for this particular program. Is that correct, Mr. Cross?
Yeah, that is. But I think what I'm hearing is the additional protection of they complete it, then 30 days later, technically, they could walk away. They were in compliance. So if I'm understanding correctly, what I'm hearing is after the loan or forgivable loan is provided and the applicant is in compliance, how do we ensure they stay in University City, or at least know that their intent was to stay in University City? So I think what I would look at is some sort of callback where you like on a yearly time frame. If you remain 3 years after the closeout of this grant, then you don't have to worry about it. I treat it like a housing program. If you leave within, you know, on year one, then you gotta pay back 2/3 of it or something like that. I think a couple options we could look at. And if, you know, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I think that's what I'm hearing. In addition to defaulting on it, we want a callback provision if they walk away after they complete the program.
Yeah, Honorable Mayor and Council, I think we have enough direction from you on that, that we can put together the wording that that's appropriate.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, forgive me, Mayor. I did forget something. When this was announced, there was, for round one, there was some significant outreach to the community. That's been several months ago. Now that we're doing round three with a much more expanded eligibility, what is the outreach going to look like?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we'll continue to, we have a list now of all of the businesses that receive a weekly newsletter from the city. And so we will certainly put information into that. We'll continue to have a very strong presence on social media. And I think that we'll talk with our consultant that we brought on board that will provide us with even more direction in how we ensure that we get the word out, even if that means putting together flyers and simply posting those on some of the various businesses around the city. So the intention is to make sure that we do a very good job with communicating the program.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Hearing none, you have before you an amendment to the proposal. Let's take the motion. Let's take the vote first on amending the motion, which would have a clawback provision. Those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Now before you, you have the amended proposal for the Small Business Administration Program as provided by City Manager Rose and Mr. Cross. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, item number K4, I'm recommending approval of the transfer station scale new roadway project construction at an estimated cost of $35,000, reallocation of $25,000 from the solid waste CIP route management project, and new allocation of $10,000 from the solid waste fund reserves for funding the project. And I believe we have Mr. Alpasan on here with us to respond to any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. Before we move to questions, is there a motion to approve the transfer station scale proposal as presented by Mr. Rose? There's a motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Are there questions of the director or of the city manager? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just had a quick question. In the diagram of how we're going to create this new roadway or entrance into the scale, I didn't notice an outlet for it. I mean, I see that where the entrance is, or is that entrance going to serve as both? And I couldn't tell by the diagram.
Mr. Alpasan, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, it's going to be an entry point, exit out through the other gate that we have through the parking lot of the community center.
Okay, thank you, because it didn't indicate that. So I was kind of wondering how trucks that size were going to turn around and come back out the same place. So thank you.
Yeah, I think Mr. Hales, were you?
No, that was part of my question.
All right. Any other questions of Mr. Rose or the director? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Seeing none, I thank you for joining us this evening. That was a quick Q&A for you. Let's move forward. Mr. Rose, I believe that concludes your section of the agenda. Am I correct?
That's correct, Mayor.
Thank you. We can move forth now to resolutions. May I have a motion for to introduce resolution 2020-13? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein.
Honorable Mayor, this might be worth some comment.
Okay, absolutely.
I'm recommending that we maintain the tax rate at the 2019 level. If approved, this would result in a voluntary lowering of the property tax rate to the 2019 level. If you recall, the budget that you recently approved was constructed based upon the property tax rate at a 2019 level. The county has come back and indicated that we have an ability to, you have the ability to increase those property taxes slightly, but because the budget was constructed on the 2019, I believe maintaining it at the 2019 level, we certainly are able to operate within that with that level of funding.
Thank you very much. So you have before you the resolution setting the levy and fixing the rate of property taxes to be collected in the year 2020. Are there any questions of the city manager or staff by members of council? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you resolution 2020-14, which is a resolution requesting the St. Louis County distribute $47 million of CARES Act funds on a per capita basis to municipalities within the St. Louis County to be used for eligible expenses. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. I was thinking there shouldn't be shouldn't be any trouble getting anybody to make the motion on this one. I think that we've had a conversation about this before, but I know that the city manager and his staff are here to answer any questions. I think our portion of this is 3.2. Am I in the ballpark of that, Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor, if approved by the council, we would be applying for $2,432,499.
I kind of overextended on that one, didn't I? I apologize. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. There's any questions? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just quickly, it seems like we've done this before, haven't we? I mean, is this just simply to ask the county to distribute the money because we've already approved the per capita process, if that's correct? Did we not?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the council approved the resolution that encouraged the county to distribute the funding on a per capita basis. And so I believe that your resolution, as well as others throughout St. Louis County, jurisdictions throughout St. Louis County certainly had an impact. And now they have come back and have agreed to distribute a total of $47 million to the jurisdictions within St. Louis County. This authorizes me to make application for those funds and to accept those funds.
Okay.
Yeah, the first was just our effort to make sure that we got it on a per capita basis. That was something that we needed to do because there was a lot of different jockeying regarding how the money is going to be caught up. And then this is per the request of the county as to how we now get our funds, is that we now have to pass a resolution requesting the funds. Okay. There's been a motion and a second. Is there any other questions or concerns? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, and I believe, Mr. Rose, do you yet have the stipulations from the county or the federal government, stipulating what the funds can be used for? When will you have an idea of that?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, we know what the CARES Act allows. We have not yet received the agreement from the county, so my intention would be to inform the city council once that agreement is received and what's contained within that agreement. I'll end up making a decision as to whether I believe that it is appropriate to bring that agreement to the city council, or if it's just a standard agreement.
Very good, thank you.
And I'm sorry, one more question, and is this going to be half or whole? That's my question.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the way the process works is that you make a preliminary application. They provide you with half of the funding based upon that preliminary application. After you provide all of the documentation for the entire allotment, then they will provide you with the second half of that funding.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move to bills. Bill number 9411. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson. Ms. Reese, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage, and repealing ordinance number 7129.
Thank you very much. We now have bill number 9412. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Hales. Ms. Reese, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending chapter 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from general commercial, single family residential, medium density residential, and high density residential office to planned development mixed use district, and establishing permitted land uses and developments herein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. We now move forward into council reports and business. Are there any reports to be made by members of council at this time? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. Began my journey with the library board as their liaison. So attended the first meeting. They did have a public meeting, public hearing, addressing their tax rate. They are in the throes of planning for their construction. As we know, that a bond was recently passed, and so they were delayed because of COVID and some other issues, but that process is underway. Library is still providing services. Clearly, it looks different than what we are accustomed to, but they are still providing services to our community. Drive-up services can be applied for, can be accessed for some of the things that the library does. And they are offering, and you may want to call the library for details, but $5 worth of free printing. So if folks in the community need to print out documents, they don't have access to some of the amenities they were accustomed to, the library is offering $5 worth of free printing. So that's something our citizens may want to take advantage of.
No, thank you. Any other comments from members of council regarding reports? Yes, Ms. Klein.
I just had a question. It was brought to my attention. I started on the Historic Preservation Commission this month, and it was brought to my attention that there are now 7 members on that commission, but that it's supposed to have 9, or it allows for 9. So I don't know if that's something that we need to discuss or change, or if we just keep it with the 7.
Well, I think that if it is allowed by 9, and if members of council have vacancies that they would like to move up to 9, I think that's fine for us to move up to. I think probably we need to, those terms that are expiring now, we probably need to get filled quickly as we can, because I think there are a number of vacancies on there. Am I right, Ms. Pine?
Yeah.
So I would urge my colleagues, if you have a vacancy, or better yet, if you know someone who would like to serve on historic preservation, please make outreach to your colleagues, because I think we'd like to get that matter addressed quickly. And again, Ms. Klein, I think I don't know that I speak on behalf of my colleagues, but as you, with you as the liaison, if in fact you feel that a 9-member commission would work better than a 7, I think all of us would work with you to bring it up to 9. I think we all struggle at times to find people to serve on commissions.
Yeah, that was my thinking. And one of the members that's retiring is an architect, so we need to replace him with an architect. So
I think that's kind of a call out by your colleague, by the way, to all the rest of us, if we know architects in any form or shape, by the way. Mr. McMahon, is that all, Ms. Klein?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. I have McMahon. 2 that live next to me if you need to tap into them.
Sounds good.
Great. By the way, Alita, that's probably not a bad way to get one filled pretty quickly. anything else before we move into closing comments? Hearing none, members of council, do you have closing comments?
One
question. Mr. Hales.
Just had some incidents around my neighborhood recently of people trying to get into cars late at night. And in one case, a car was stolen, which I think was unlocked and there may have been a key in it. But just want to reiterate and state that we all have to be vigilant. And one of the cases, I happened to be awake in the middle of the night. My neighbor's car alarm went off and I called the police and told them, and actually saw a guy walking down the street, checking other doors. If you hear a car alarm go off in the middle of the night, to anybody who may be watching, I think Chief Hampton would agree, call the police and let them know that it's happening, because the quicker they get there, the better shot they have of trying to catch somebody and hopefully recover any stolen goods. So anyway, thank you.
Brotherson.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to add to what Councilmember Hales mentioned, and that is about people breaking into or checking unlocked cars. First of all, the first thing that I want to ask is the City Manager Rose, is there a way to put out like a 9 o'clock alert? And this may be something that we're doing or not doing, but I just wanted to mention this. Is there a way to put out a 9 o'clock alert on Facebook, on Nextdoor, reminding everybody to go out, check their cars, and lock the doors? I mean, you know, can we have a citywide alert kind of that just reminds people on social media or however we can do it, just reminding people? And I mentioned that, and I'm glad Councilmember Hales mentioned this, because my son and I like to sit out on the front porch. And one evening, my son was sitting on the front porch and literally watched a young man walk down the street, going into driveways, checking cars. And he walked all the way down the street. He didn't see my son sitting on the front porch until he literally got to the front of our house. And then he took off. But that's what I'm asking. Is there a way to send out some kind of neighborly alert to remind people at 9 o'clock, lock your doors?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Snotherson, I'll certainly confer with Chief Hampton to see. Seems like we should be able to do something to send out an alert to our residents, through via social media, but let me discuss that with him and respond back to you.
Mr. Rose?
Yes.
If I may, we do participate with Nextdoor and Facebook already with those alerts for that. So that goes out on a regular basis. I think Councilmember Hales can confirm that we do send that out. We're getting a lot of residents that pretty much say they'd rather gamble with not having a window broken than leaving the door unlocked and people rambling through it. And it's an uphill battle explaining that windows is getting broken is not the trend right now.
And I just want to say thank you. I don't check necessarily Facebook and all of that on a regular basis, so I wasn't sure, but thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other closing comments? I have a couple before we take a motion to go into closed session. First off, I'd like to thank the city manager and his staff, as well as Jessica Bueller, for two successful movies in parking lot number four. We're hoping to continue that and continue to have other reasons for people to come visit the Loop. Hopefully all of you have seen the additional dining areas that are outside many of our restaurants. So again, we're trying to do what we can to support our businesses in the Loop, and I'm sure throughout the city as well. A couple of things I want to beg your indulgence on, and I should have done this at the beginning of the meeting, and I simply did not read my notes. So to that, I apologize to all of you. And I do want to take a moment and recognize and appreciate and ask for a moment of silence for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away and has now been laid to rest next to her husband in Arlington National Cemetery. Similar to John Lewis, she signified so much of what is right in our country, a lifetime of struggle for what is right, for independence, for equality, for doing things the right way. I tend to think that she and John Lewis are right now having a great conversation about the struggles and how they overcame many of the challenges that were presented to them and have left the world a much better place. To all of us who have daughters, I think we have another person now that our daughters can look up to and probably have for some time. And it's amazing to me that we now have a new political, if you will, or judicial symbol, which is a collar necklace that I think is taking on a whole new meaning for many women and for young ladies, particularly across the country. As I think probably all of you know, she was born in 1933, was named to the Supreme Court in 1993 by President Bill Clinton. She approached her responsibilities on the court in a very serious way, yet also with a great deal of humor. I think many of you may know that one of her best quotes came actually from her mother-in-law, where she said, "In every good marriage, it helps to be just a little deaf." And I think that's probably good advice, frankly, for all of us. And on a more serious note, she said, "Fight for those things that you care about, but do it in a way that leads others to join you." So I'd ask my colleagues to join in a brief moment of silence for the legacy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Thank you very much. I would now ask for there to be a motion for us to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions or causes of action regarding a public governmental building, public governmental body, and any confidential or privileged communication between that body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Muted. I believe she's muted.
Yeah, she's muted. Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Very much to all the members of the public. Thank you for joining us. This concludes the public portion of our meeting. To our members of council, we will be joining in closed session in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.